We have with us domestic policy advisor Diana Mead. Diana, welcome. A little bit early this week.
Yes, we all woke up early for your show. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so this was the big week. Joe Biden's big address before selected members of Congress. And suppose that this was, this is what the New York, the Washington Post? No, I'm sorry, Politico. Politico says Joe Biden gave the most ideological, ambitious speech of any Democratic president in generations. Do you agree with that?
Don't you love the word ambitious? First of all, I have to say Happy May Day, which is so appropriate for this discussion of the Biden speech. This is International Workers' Day, which is also known as the International Day of Struggle and Celebration of the Workers for Peace and Socialism. All around the world, socialists celebrate this day as their accomplishments for the worker.
Oh, so this is Commie Day.
Yes, it's Commie Day.
It's Commie Day around the world.
About the Biden speech. It's appropriate.
Okay.
And yes, the media celebrated Biden's radicalism, and in CNN actually said that he showcased his moderate radicalism, which is an inventive term, which I think is really interesting.
What is moderate radicalism?
Well, I think they are delighted at the fact that Joe comes across to the average person, or they think he does, as a sort of regular guy, not a radical, even though his ideas are very radical, especially the ideas he laid out in his State of the Whatever it was, the State of His Mind speech last week. So,
well, okay, yes, so Politico says that Politico says that the speech was another marker suggesting that the ideological pendulum in the country has swung, and that in the closing in of Biden's half century, this is his half century in Washington. And for his part, Biden believes that people are now ready to support aggressively activist government. Are people in America ready to support these liberal activists and their plans for everything from paying off college loans, spending almost $2 trillion in yet another welfare program that we don't know where the money will be going and where the money is coming from, on top of the almost $2 trillion they want to spend on infrastructure? Diana, where does all this money come from, and where is it going if they get what they want?
Well, I think you're right. I think that really we had the $1.9 trillion COVID plan. We had the $2.3 trillion American jobs plan in this speech, $1.8 trillion American families plan in this speech, which adds up to $6 trillion. It is the biggest wealth transfer in the shortest time. This all happened in 3 months. And I think that people are not aware of how you're asking if people will support it. Will Americans support it? If they know what's in it, but who's going to tell them other than you, James?
Well,
the radicalism is celebrated, and it's not really framed that way in the news.
They're calling this $1.8 trillion that you talk about an expansion of the family safety net. What the hell does that mean? What is that?
Okay.
No, what is it? I'm being serious. What is an expansion? What is it?
Okay. The first thing it is 4 more years of indoctrination. You've got 2 years of universal preschool for 3 and 4 year olds, and then 2 years of free community college at the other end. So that's point one. Then there's affordable child care. They're going to cap what percentage of salary that people can pay on child care. Then there's paid medical leave.
Whoa, stop. They're going to cap what?
In other words, if you make $40,000, say, as an example, you can only pay 7% of your salary for child care. They're going to basically mandate that there's going to be a sliding scale based on your salary, what you can pay in child care.
So where is the rest of that? Wait. But if I'm a child care provider, If I have a little job and I say, I put up a sign and I say, bring your little snotty-nosed kids here to spread COVID in my beautiful daycare center, and while you're out trying to find a job because they've shut down your business, so bring your snotty-nosed kids here and I charge $500, you know, a month for each one of your snotty-nosed kids here, right? How,
right.
If, how does this work? Does the government...
That is my point. They don't know how anything works. Here, can I quote one sentence from this speech?
Yes, please.
Okay. Biden said, there is simply no reason why the blades for wind turbines can't be built in Pittsburgh instead of Beijing. No reason. None. No reason. That was just one sentence in this speech where he basically says that, you know, it should just come. These jobs should just come to America. And he doesn't understand that his own policies, his tax plan, is going to make less jobs being in America. Here's a question for Joe Biden. If you want to know why no turbine blades are made in America, ask GE, because they are the world's largest wind turbine manufacturer. Why don't they make blades in America? It's because of our tax policy. And now Joe Biden wants to raise, as I said to you last time, the corporate tax to 28%, where China's is 25%.
Just
now,
drive more
not
jobs
going to be
overseas.
Any, yes. And Trump lowered it to 21%. So jobs were starting to come back. Well, of course, Biden's reversing that. He said that he told a lot of the world leaders, America is back. And I think Jimmy Carter's America is back. I think that the jobs are going to continue to flee. We're going to have huge inflation based on the policies he laid out, which he said the American jobs plan he's giving to Kamala Harris, his vice president. So what job has she ever created? That's my question for you.
She has created no jobs as far as I can tell, but she really is good at letting innocent people linger in jail. She has some skills.
Prison guards. That is one of her jobs that she's created is prison guards. And other than that, she's in charge of infrastructure and changing all the lead pipes and our power grid.
She's supposed to be in charge of the border. She hasn't shown up there yet.
Right. Well, she is now being delegated to just do the root causes of the border problem. She's not there to solve it. She's trying to figure out the root causes, which she decided was climate change.
The root causes of migration into America are climate change.
Yes, because it's hurricanes and floods, and that's why people are leaving.
You know, Larry Kudlow 2 weeks ago called John Kerry the stupidest man in America. I wonder what he thinks of Kamala Harris. We have to ask him. And Larry Kudlow's show comes right after this on WABC Talk Radio 77. You have to be here. Politico also said that Joe Biden embraced his inner Robin Hood with this speech. He didn't shy away from redistributive governance. In fact, he leaned into it. He wants to redistribute your money, and now they're openly embracing this. The notion of using tax and spend as a political cudgel is really old-fashioned. Said Matt Bennett, but he said what's resonating with Americans right now is that the wealthier are getting wealthier, and it's the same old thing. You know, the rich are getting richer, so we have to take their money. Where is this going besides higher taxes? And do you think that this will get through the Senate?
I think quite a bit of it will get through the Senate. Because I think that the media is correct. Since they're not explaining what's in the policies, there's not a lot of outrage. People are really focused on one thing right now, and that is becoming free again from the COVID regulations. And so this speech really was not of interest to people. I think I read that 11 million tuned in versus 43 million tuning into Trump. So This has not been focused on, and because Biden is such a sleepy guy in his delivery, it's really you know, deceptively being advanced by the left under the cover of Biden's moderation, quote unquote. So people are used to Biden and they don't expect he's never been successful at implementing anything. So they really ignore him. And that is, I think, the greatest danger. And the Republicans don't have any effective response other than the usual, this is just tax and spend. I think that Tim Scott's response hit more of where people are. I thought it was a beautiful delivery. It had some spiritual components to it. And there was a love of America in there. And you did not see that in Biden's speech. I mean, he mouthed sort of pro-American, pro-blue collar phrases, but there was no American greatness in the speech whatsoever.
Well, President Biden did say that the January 6th storming of the Capitol was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War.
Yes. I think that that is the Washington view, which is why we still have troops there, which no one ever seems curious to ask about. How long are the National Guard going to stay in Washington?
Yeah, well, so Pearl Harbor, when we had the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor and our Navy was decimated, some of the bodies are still under the water. If you the USS Arizona, the attack on the storming of the Capitol building was worse than that.
And 9/11, don't forget.
And 9/11, the terrorist attack of 9/11. So now what we're supposed to believe, and this is how self-absorbed these politicians are about and of their own importance. This was the worst thing to happen since the Civil War. Okay.
Well, they're using it. It's politically advantageous, you know, because I think Biden also said that the greatest threat to us right now is white supremacy and extremism, meaning political extremism defined as conservatives. So
yeah,
that
meaning
is
white,
they truly see. Yes.
White right wingers are the biggest threat to America.
Yes.
Some of the most patriotic people in this country, who believe in this country, are now this country's biggest threat, according to Joe Biden and the Democrats.
Exactly. You nailed it, as always.
Uh-huh. Liz Cheney, I'm springing this one on you, and then we got to go to a break, but I want to get what do you think about this war between Liz Cheney, anti-Trump Liz Cheney, and Kevin McCarthy that's going on?
Well, it's a war that has to happen. I think that the anti-Trump forces are so small in this country, but they still wield quite a bit of leadership power within the Republican Party. And that is a fight that the voters have to exert themselves within the party because it is a Trump, pro-Trump party. So the leadership has to reflect that. Adam
Agreed.
Kinzinger, whatever his name is going around Texas trying to find anti-Trump people so that he can win re-election. And
he needs to be primaried and thrown out. I don't want to say anything about Liz Cheney right now facing a primary, but I don't think I have to.
No, you don't.
Thank you so much, domestic policy advisor Diana Mead.